Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
March Madness, it's on. I have a lot of good memories of March Madness. I think the Thursday, Friday games are incredible. I have covered probably 15 or 18 tournaments. I've seen a lot of great basketball. Our next guest, Landon Lucas, born in Portland, Oregon, played his college basketball at Kansas, joining us now. And I want to know what it's like to be in a tournament. Landon, thanks for making time for us.
How you doing, John?
Doing well. Doing well. March Madness comes around. Do you get, does like your spider senses start tingling?
A little bit, man. I wish I was still out there, but it is more fun to watch as a fan now.
Give us an idea because, you know, we all watch it outside in. You've been part of it. From Selection Sunday, in that period of Selection Sunday into the first round of games in that first weekend, what is that like to be an athlete in that setting? As you're waiting for the matchup and then you get the matchup and then, you know, how much practice are you really doing in preparation?
I mean, it's definitely a fun time, but I remember on Selection Sunday, we would go through it. We would get a chance to see who we were playing. And then right afterwards, inside about an hour, we would have a team meeting, and in that team meeting, we would have a few packets. So we would have three packets. One would be the team that we were about to play, and then the two teams that we potentially could play. And we would treat it like a two-game tournament that weekend and prepare for those teams. And usually, we would give a little bit of focus in the first game, but it was usually a 1-16 game. So we would do a little bit on that and then a little bit on the other two teams.
You start looking ahead at the bracket. Do you look at the rest of the bracket as a player? I mean, you can't help it, can you?
As a player, you can't help it. But, you know, the coaches are on us at all times, making sure that we don't do that. But obviously, it's in the back of our heads, you know, as we look at those brackets.
Kansas basketball comes with that pedigree. Like, you expect Kansas to be, you know, to play deep in the tournament. You're a high school kid at Sunset High School, you know, in the Portland area. You knew of Kansas basketball. They start recruiting you. How much did their success in the tournament, you know, matter to you as a young player?
It mattered a lot. At the end of the day, you know, when you envision yourself playing high-level college basketball, a lot of that comes down to the tournament. And that's the peak of the season. So knowing that they're always when the top seeds always have a chance to, you know, make a good run was a big impact for me.
What tournament stands out to you? Is there a game or a year where you go, that was the year?
Well, my last 2 years were pretty similar. Both years we were the top seed, number one overall, my junior, possibly my senior too, I believe. And both years were going on a good run, having fun, enjoying the team, and came to the Elite Eight where that was our rough night on both my junior and senior years. And it was Villanova, and then it was Oregon. And both of those teams, really, I mean, I believe we had a chance to win it all if we get past that game. And so it's a tough one, but it was very fun to be able to make that run because I've been a part of the two teams my freshman and sophomore year that lost in the first weekend.
Wow.
And that's no fun at all. So
Landon Lucas with us, former Kansas Jayhawk. We always say, like, you know, the best team wins the tournament, or the team has been most successful, obviously, in the tournament wins the tournament. But I sometimes feel like, you know, if you played best of five, Kansas doesn't lose those Elite Eight games. And that's that's the magic of this tournament. Like, it's sudden death at all times.
Yeah, and from it's what makes it so exciting from a fan's perspective. I mean, that's what you look for. That's what you ask for. That's the drama that it creates. From a player's perspective, especially on a team where you know more times than not you'll win, a best out of five or something like that. It's tough because you do know there are those nights you wish you had back, and you can't have those back. So it makes it tough, but, I mean, it's what makes March Madness so fun to watch.
Now, when you're Kansas and you're you're one of the top seeds, you go into the first round, you're playing a true underdog. Did you often feel like the crowd was rooting for an upset, that they're pulling for an upset?
Yeah, I mean, we did a little bit. Luckily, most of our first round and second round games were really close to home because of our seeding. But at the same time, we knew that everybody outside of that arena was probably hoping for some kind of upset. And so, it's a little added pressure, and you go into the game, and obviously it starts off 0-0, so the game's usually close to start. But eventually the lead grows and grows until you can have a good time and then look forward to the next game.
Favorite moment from March Madness for you?
My favorite moment was probably, I would say, the Sweet 16 game my junior year against Maryland. And there was a lot of hype around that team. They had a lot of talent, and we were able to finally make it out of the first weekend since I had been there, and that was big for us already. And then to move forward and take care of that easily, and then set up the matchup with Villanova was a lot of fun for me.
You as a highly seeded team, you come in with different pressure. Did you feel like, is that a thing that, because we don't often think about the pressure element, how does that play out in this tournament?
I mean, it plays out quite a bit. I'd say once the game starts, there's not as much, but you definitely feel, I mean, the one thing that we used to say as a team, even the coaches would say, is that first weekend, that's just business for us. I mean, we don't really start having fun until we get to that second weekend. And it's a lot different than some of those other teams. I mean, because if you come in as a mid to low seeded team, you're just happy to be there. You're enjoying every bit of it. First game is fun. You're just having a blast because win or lose, you got to make the tournament. You got to play in it. For us, that first weekend, we really – it's just all business. And then once we get to the second weekend and on, that's when you start having fun.
What about distractions? Because you make the tournament, the bracket comes out. I don't know if you had friends that were blowing up your phone or, how distracting is that?
Yeah, it is very distracting. You get everybody's letting you know that you were the champion, their bracket or whatnot. So it can be, but that's just on you as an individual to kind of tune that out and make sure that you stay focused at the task at hand, or else you will be going home.
Landon Lucas with us, former Kansas Jayhawk. You're back in Portland. You've launched a business. What do you have going on?
Yeah, I'm back in Portland for a little while before Summer League, and I launched this business, Seeker. So it's just a new platform that makes shopping and comparing insurance a lot easier. I've been involved in it for a few years now, and very excited to have a chance to come back home, launch it before I go back to playing basketball. So,
what got you into that? Like, what's the connection to Seeker?
Yeah, well, my father is in insurance, and he has been in it for about 15 years, and really, it was just an idea that came up because we know how much of a struggle it can be to compare and shop insurance, just the local agents and whatnot. And so with help from him and a bunch of agents and then obviously a tech team, we developed this platform. And so it's exciting. I mean, it gives me a chance to kind of cross over into the business world as I'm still playing. And then eventually give me something to, focus on when I'm done.
All right, before I cut you loose, give our listeners some advice for filling out their brackets. What would Landon Lucas, a guy who's been in the bracket, tell them?
Yeah, I would say to pick the upsets. There's a lot of 12-5 upsets every year. I would go with that. You can't have all number one seeds make it to the Final Four. And then after that, I mean, just kind of go with your gut. I've seen people who filled out better brackets just by picking their favorite mascot than teams they actually feel like could win. So, I mean, really, just go with your gut, fill it out, and hope for the best, because you know that probably by the second weekend you'll be ripping up English.
All right, who's your champ in your bracket?
Well, I have to go with Kansas.
Oh, come
they
on.
They could be a 16 seed, and I'm going with Kansas at the end of the day, so I have to go with them.
All right, Rock Chalk, Landon Lucas. Yep. All right, thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, former Kansas Jayhawk, picking with his heart. He just said, go with your instincts and your gut, and now he's picking with his heart. Tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Tell me who you have winning your bracket. And by the way, if you give me the choice between Duke and the field, I'll take the field. I'll take it all day. You got the bald-faced truth. Later in the show, we're going to talk about a story that will divide the audience. That's all I'm going to say on this. It will divide the audience. I think it might even divide the three of us. Bobby, Alabama, Adriana, all of Alabama, Adriana's minions down there that are running around helping her out. I think it will divide us because it's a sports story, but it's a story about sex. It's a story about gender. It's a story that's got implications that could span to the Olympics. So we'll talk about that coming up. I don't have the time to get into that argument right now because we are going to do the big splash. I'm sticking with the plan. It's the big thing. It's the one thing you need to know.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Buckby. The big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, the Oregon Ducks have drawn Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament. That's right, the big splash is that Oregon's in the NCAA tournament. They get Wisconsin as a bonus. Number 5 seed Badgers come into this game not playing as well or as hot as the number 12 seed Ducks, but it is a class mismatch on paper. Wisconsin's had the better overall season. Oregon's played the best basketball in the Pac-12 conference over the last 8 or so games. And so that's what we're getting in San Jose. If you're a Badgers fan, I feel for you because you're watching your team that earned a number 5 seed have to travel all the way across the country. Go over to San Jose, California, where the Ducks take a couple-hour flight down the way and are surrounded by Oregon fans in San Jose's arena. And that is going to be a 5-12 matchup on Friday. That game will probably tip off, I'm going to say, somewhere around 1:30 to 2 o'clock on Friday. It will be preceded by the UC Irvine-Kansas State game. And then 30 minutes after the conclusion of that game, that tips at 11 a.m., you'll get Oregon and Wisconsin in that one. Some other news. Oregon State's basketball season is finished. NCAA tournament did not pick them. NIT passed on them. They could have played in the CBI, but Oregon State wisely, and I think justly, decided they didn't want to pay to play. $50,000 entry fee. Why? To extend a season? Look, I get if you are a young team and you say, hey, my guys need some more games. We're looking for another game. These guys are all freshmen and sophomores. Yes, you go play in there. But Oregon State was the second most experienced team in the Pac-12 conference this season to Washington. And I don't think playing in another game that you have to pay to play is a good idea in that circumstance. Further, Scott Barnes, the athletic director, came on this show just a couple weeks ago and talked about, you know, having to make some tough decisions with the budget at Oregon State. They're operating at a $6 million annual rolling deficit, $6 million a year. They are in the red. They just cut swimming. They can't justify having a basketball team that did not show up to play in Las Vegas, had eyes wide open. They looked shell-shocked. Just kind of showed up and went, oh, tournament, Vegas, baby, and got excused just like that. Played a horrible first half. You cannot justify having that Oregon State team play another game. I know Charlie Sitton wants to see him play. Guy's the biggest honk in the world, sitting courtside, just rooting for his Beavers. But nobody else wants to see him play. And I think You got to live with some consequences if you're Oregon State. And you have to live with the consequence of, hey, we didn't show up to play. We got excused. That was dismal. Lights out. Go on. Come back next year. That's the consequence for not appearing in a prepared fashion for a basketball game. It's the one thing you need to know. Today, it's our big splash. That bothered me. Because you know why? It's not that I root for Oregon State or root for Oregon. I just like when the teams that I cover show up like they care to be there. And I don't think Oregon State's thing was they didn't care to be there. I think Oregon State's thing in Las Vegas was that Oregon State kind of rolled in and said, we're the four seed, acted like that meant something. And then they went through warmups and they encountered a team that, frankly, you know, had spent some time playing the night before, got the jitters out. And so I think that, you know, the team they were playing against had been on the court, had been in a game on that court, had been in T-Mobile Arena in a meaningful game the night before. It was an elimination game for them. And I think Oregon State, just by the time they woke up, it was halftime. They really played a really good second half. They had two 10-0 runs. But, you know, those Oregon State fans were walking around afterwards. I saw, you know, Charlie Sitton, who was, you know, as angry as anybody, sitting on the concourse, drowning his sorrows. I saw, you know, I felt bad every time I ran into a Beaver fan in the casinos or on the strip or anywhere afterwards, because they had made plans to stay for a couple days in Vegas. It was, I felt bad for them. They were just kind of lingering around Las Vegas, and their team was out, like packed up and gone home. And I thought that the tournament meant so much more for Oregon State than it did for Oregon. Like, Oregon made it matter by winning games. But I felt like going in, Oregon State had played in fourth place in the conference, had played well enough to justify a first-round bye in the conference tournament, and it was suddenly like, okay, do you really want to matter in this tournament? Because the women's team did the same damn thing. Showed up in Las Vegas and got beat in the first round. So do you want to make that mistake that the women's team just made? And you know what? They did. They did. It was awful. By the way, the Pac-12 conference getting three teams in, really cool. But last year they also got three teams in, didn't win a damn game. So let's keep an eye on the Pac-12. And here's the other thing. I was looking at a lot of data, okay? Because we bang on the Pac-12 as being non-competitive. But this one, to me, screams, this is the problem that the Pac-12 has. There are only 10... Power 5 conference universities that did not qualify for a bowl game and also did not make the NCAA tournament. Only 10. Five of them are in the Pac-12.
That's terrible. That's awful.
Five of those teams are in the Pac-12 because, you know, you can go ACC, Big 12, Big 10, SEC. You're going to find, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 NCAA tournament bids.
Yeah, you'll see all these teams that are terrible in football. Kansas.
They make it in basketball.
But they make it in basketball.
Right.
That's right.
But the five teams that are, you know, Pac-12 teams that did not qualify for either a bowl game or the NCAA tournament, do you know them? How many can you name? You probably can name a few of them.
Oregon State.
Oregon State is one.
Okay.
Arizona. Colorado. And then two surprises that usually make it. USC.
USC
didn't make a bowl game. You're 5-8. Didn't make a bowl game. Didn't make it. And UCLA.
Yeah, okay.
USC and UCLA, your LA schools, did not make either a bowl game or the NCAA tournament. This is a problem. Five of the 10 Power 5 teams that did not qualify came from your conference.
How much do you think they care in LA about that?
They probably do.
You think?
Lynn Swann's a bit of a boob, but, but, you know, it all comes back to leadership, doesn't it? All right, we'll talk leadership in the 12 o'clock. We're in the 12 o'clock hour, right? Who is it? 1 o'clock? Yeah, 1 o'clock. My clock says 11:58 right now.
Yeah, that's right. We're going into the one.
So I just keep going. I'm like, hey, show's about to start. In the 1 o'clock hour, Jerry Palm will be with us. He is a bracketology expert with CBS Sports. Every year, he comes on this show right in front of the NCAA tournament, and he helps you fill out your bracket. He will give you the 5-12 upsets. He will tell you who's going to beat who, and he's right every year. He makes the bracket better. If you want to win your pool, you're going to leave it here, and you're going to listen to Jerry Palm because he's going to spit wisdom at you. Also, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden wants on the show. Find out why coming up. You've got the bald-faced truth statewide. Appreciate everybody out there who makes this radio program part of their day. And we'll be up next with Jerry.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.